But if you would like to turn to Genesis 15, we're going to be looking at Genesis 24. But before we get there, I just want us to look at Faithful Prayerful Service. That's the title of the message. And it's coming from Genesis 24. But before we get there, just to clarify something, in Genesis 15:2, we read of Eliezer of Damascus. And it says there, "And Abram said, Lord God, what would thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?" Now, a steward was entrusted with the responsibility of overseeing the affairs of the household he was in charge of. He would manage the resources. He would ensure the well-being of those under his care. And steward, among many other things, one of the terms used is the builder of a family home, or a family name, I should say. And a steward acted in the best interests of their master. And in fact, if the master had no children, the inheritance, and there was no one else to give it to, the inheritance would then go to the steward. So if we now go to Genesis 24, verse 1, we read there, "And Abram was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, of the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughter of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac." Now, in verse 2 there, the eldest servant, we aren't told that it is Eliezer. Many people say that it is, but as I go through this message this afternoon, I'm just going to be referring to this man as the servant of Abraham, just to clear that up. And what we're looking at is someone with faithful and prayerful service to their master. Now, this servant had shown himself worthy of trust and responsibility, because it says there that he ruled over all that Abraham had. And this is a responsibility. This wouldn't have just been thrown in his lap all at once. It would have been a responsibility given to the servant after faithful service in the smaller things. And Abraham must have found him like that, because, you know, the smaller duties and responsibilities would have promoted him to greater duties. Remember, the Lord said in Luke 16:10, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much." You know, we find this in our homes. We find this in work, in business life, in school life, you know, in life in general. We find that this is the truth. Very few people are promoted to a greater responsibility unless they've already shown themselves faithful in lesser responsibilities. And it's a great thing that we can earn a good reputation for faithfulness in whatever position we have that the Lord has placed us in, whether it's at home, school, work, in the church. We need to understand God's not looking for success. God is looking and values faithful work. That's what he's after. And Abraham gives his servant instructions concerning about finding a wife for his son Isaac. And we notice that the servant listened to what Abraham said. Look at verse 5 there in our text. "And the servant said unto him, Peradventure, the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou comest?" So he'd been listening to what Abraham's been saying to him. And how often parents and those we may serve become very frustrated, even annoyed, when we haven't carried out their instructions, and it was all because we didn't pay attention to what was being said. We are to be determined to carry out to the best of our ability the work that is committed to us. Listen, carelessness, no matter where we are and what we do, is always inexcusable. Always inexcusable. Now, this servant, we're going to look at a few things. If we go down to verse 12, he prayed about his work. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and showing kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also, let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. You know, a good principle in our lives is to follow what Philippians 4:6 says, in everything by prayer. You know, prayer is the shortcut to the things that need to be done. When we leave out the prayer, you know, we're left to our own ways and so forth, and it can take a lot longer to sort things out than if we had simply gone to the Lord and asked him what he wanted done. But, you know, we see here that we should pray at the start of our day and thank the Lord and commit that day to him, that we all be done unto the Lord. And when we get home, we should thank him that the day has gone according to his will. But many things will come up during the day, wherever you are, school, work, home, for which we also need help and we need wisdom and we need to be in the habit of calling out to God for help. He wants to hear from us. It doesn't matter. Whenever anything needs to be addressed, call out to him for help. Morning, noon and night, be in prayer. Now, there's a few things I just want us to look at, and that is, notice this prayer. Look how simple the prayer was. It doesn't have unusual grand words. It's got none of this flowery speech trying to make it sound so holy and righteous. We don't have to sound like that when we're talking with God. We just have to be natural and simple. We just pour out our heart to him in our everyday language, and we just go to God, and as we go to him, we just go to him as we would to a dear friend, to someone we trust, and we talk to him. You know, he's willing, he's able to help us. We also see this prayer was direct and to the point. This servant needed guidance, and that's what he asked for. I was reading, and it was quite funny, I was reading in the it reminds me of sometimes some of the prayer meetings I've been in, but I was reading that in the Solomon Islands, when a person has a request to make, they have a term that we've heard it, that they will beat around the bush. In other words, they come to someone, and then they go to their house and they're talking with, but they talk about everything else. They talk about the whole day, everything under the sun. And just before they go, then they ask for what they wanted in the first place. A lot of prayer meetings can be like that. People give the whole story, the whole picture of something, when all they need to do is just ask the Lord for what their problem, what they need, what they want. And look at the servant said. He said, send me good speed this day. You know, we never have to be ashamed to present our requests to God You know, we can be direct. We don't have to beat around the bush and trying to have some big story to go along with it. We just be direct and bring the prayers to him. Verse 14, this prayer was trustful. He says, and let it come to pass. In other words, he believed that God would definitely guide him and enable him to carry out his assignment successfully. And look at the end of verse 14. He says, thereby shall I know that thou hast shown kindness unto my master. Do you know we can trust God to do the exact same thing for us? Whatever comes, whatever hardship, whatever comes into our life, whatever arises, we need to go and ask God for his help. Believe he wants to help us. Expect him to give the help that we need. Again, we don't have to beat around the bush with it. Just go to him and seek him out. And there are far too many that they don't understand the promises that are connected with a prayer life. And we need to get a hold of what true prayer is. It's trustful. And we see also that this prayer came before the servant had finished speaking. And it came to pass before he had done speaking that, behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. You know, this proves to us the promise that's given to us in Isaiah 65:24, while they are yet speaking, I will hear. You know, and as I was putting this together, and Deborah can give testimony to this, as I was putting this together, I just finished praying for an appointment for Deborah, and Deborah comes in the room. I heard the phone go outside, and she comes in the room, and she says, oh, what's this? And it was the appointment I just prayed for. And it was ringing while I was praying, asking for the appointment. You know, that's happened a couple of times. It doesn't happen very often, but it happened. And I showed her, didn't I, my dear? I said, look, it's written in my prayer book. I've just prayed for your appointment. And while I was speaking, the phone went and the Lord answered it. And sometimes we forget how real our prayer lives should be, and who we are praying to and what he can do. The answer came before the servant even finished speaking. Now, there are times, though, and we've all faced those, when the answer can be delayed. But in both cases, we are to be sure that God always hears our prayer and he always answers. It may be a yes. You may say, well, I haven't heard for ages. Well, that may be a no. But he does answer. Now, for some, the wait can be so long because they're not trusting God for victory. They have not the faith in God that they should have. Now, James 1:6 tells us, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. You know, there are precious promises the Lord gives us. We know them, but the problem is we don't trust them. And we go so far and then we don't believe in it. And we stop and we don't go anywhere. That's not the Lord's fault. It's because we are not putting our faith and trust in who he is and what he can do. Do you think he wants us to stumble around not knowing anything? Do you think he wants us to be like lost sheep all over the place, running around? No, he doesn't. He wants us to be sure and certain of the God he is. And he's a prayer-answering God. And he wants to show himself to us. And one of the main ways he does is through his word and through answers to our prayers. Now, when the answer came, notice the servant was thankful. And the man bowed his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and of his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. How often has God been faithful in answering our prayers and we forget to thank him for it? We forget to thank him. And Philippians 4:6, and everything in prayer with thanksgiving. And, you know, I don't know about you, but it can get under a person's skin when others don't thank us for things we may do for them. Most of us don't like ingratitude in other people. But when we have a real good look, we are guilty of it ourselves towards the Lord. We can go through the day and have prayers answered and not be thankful at all. There was a place where we were at, and people come out to me and they said, "Oh, we used to mow this lawn here, but we only mow half of it now." I said, "Oh, okay, what was that for?" "Oh, the person never thanked us for doing it." And I thought, well, that's a bit crazy, because the lawn was no bigger than five of these tables. It's only four or five strips there, half. But they refused to do it because the person next door to them, who didn't have a mower, never thanked them. We remember the 10 lepers the Lord healed. How many came back? One. In Luke 17, our Lord said, "Were not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? You know, when we have been helped by the Lord, when he has come and answered our prayers, when we have been taken through a difficult time and come out the other side, we need to acknowledge his help. We need to return thanks, just like this servant did. And we do it straight away. Now, the conditions for answered prayer. Verse 27 at the end. I being in the way, the Lord led me. You know, for answered prayer, first, we must be in the Lord's way. We must be living in his will. We must be walking in the path that he has marked out for us. And we can only claim his guidance and help if we're walking with him and being obedient to his commands. Second, sin must not be allowed to rule in our life. We mustn't allow anything to come between us and the Lord. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not what? Hear me. They're the conditions for answered prayer. Walk with the Lord, be obedient to what he says. Next, we've got to be steadfast in the Lord's work. Verse 56. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered me, my way, send me away that I may go to my master. You know, when Rebekah's parents tried to delay the servant, he says to them, hinder me not. There will always be those who will try and change our mind for carrying out the Lord's orders, to carrying them out promptly, even from serving him at all. Oh, what are you doing that for? You don't have to do that. Listen, there's not enough time. Let's do this instead. But every time we say no to those who try to turn us from our duty to God, it makes it easier for us to say no the next time. Now, we may not become very popular with those sort of people, whether it's at work or home or even at church or with our closest friends. But if we have God's approval, what else matters? Honestly, what else matters? We've got to be steadfast in the Lord's work. Next, we've got to exalt our master. Verse 34. This unnamed servant, he said, I am Abraham's servant. So he's not speaking about himself, not at all. But he did speak a lot about his master. His object, his desire was to draw out of Rebekah her love towards his master. And from verse 34 onwards, so we don't have time today, but read them, he spoke about how good his master was. Now the Lord says to us in John 13:13, ye call me master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. And as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, our master, our duty is to attract others to himself, not to ourselves. He said, I am Abraham's servant. Now I want to leave you with this. We too are only servants. Every single one of us. We are only servants. Servants of our Master, our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we, like this servant, seek by word, by thought, and by deed to exalt the one who we love and the one we serve, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, the great and almighty God. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this short word to us today, but the depth of meaning in this passage, Lord, may we recognize our position before you, your children, but also your servants. The wonderful privilege we have, Lord. May we fulfill the conditions of answered prayer, that we be obedient and steadfast, that we exalt you. May we, Lord, keep our prayers simple, to the point, trusting in you at all times. And Lord, as we pour our hearts out to you in those real hard times, we thank you that you're always there to listen. Father, may we honor you in every way, that you would be glorified and honored, and that people would see, Lord, that we serve a risen Savior, a living God, not for our sakes, but for his glory. And we thank you for the privilege to do so. And these things we pray in the precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.